Good morning and welcome back to the Dumpter Blog's Morning Coffee Podcast, DBMC Radio, and hope you have a great morning, great day, maybe a cup of coffee. We are in a different room today, in the book room of the house, so this is a very nice kind of environment, and it's a big day with a big earning reports, so we're going to do a bit of the investment business stuff first, and then we're going to look at Dante, and we're going to have five more tercets, which are really, really beautiful, in the middle of Canto 17, which is in the middle of Paradiso. So the first big thing, like after the markets today, after then 4 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to have the release of the earning reports from NVIDIA, which is kind of has ballooned into becoming one of the giants of like the tech companies in America. And it has six doubled in stock value in the last 16 months from October in 2022, partly because 2022 was a year downwards. But either way, it has gone from around $110 to over $720. Now it's a bit under $700. But it's largely fueled by expectations for future growth and especially then AI-driven growth. And it's interesting because the previous quarter, so they're going to report now on the last quarter of 2023, but the one before that, if you look at the quarterly report, you can see that the data center operations have ballooned really, and now is up to 80%. It used to be a lot of gaming for NVIDIA, but the data center part is really growing. And it's just in terms of expectations, the kind of the big thing people are looking at is the earnings, the revenue. And it's funny because what NVIDIA said the previous quarter was that their expectation, and this is like a quotation here from the report, they say $20 billion plus or minus 2%. And then as of yesterday, the expectations for the analysts were $20.62 billion on average, more or less exactly the same. And one would expect NVIDIA to have some kind of professional management of expectations. So when they say, oh, next quarter is probably going to be around 20, you would expect it to be a lot more. So it's almost strange that analysts are kind of landing on that same number. But we're going to see later today what the number is going to be. But it has really grown. If you look at the last four, we're going to keep this kind of short, but the last four quarters from then the last one in 2022, it's gone from 6 billion, 7 billion, 13.5 billion to 18 billion in total. So it's, we'll see, but it seems a bit careful, cautious to estimate just 20 when it has risen so much. And then you can also see just the data center operations alone have grown over the last 4 years from 3 billion per year to over 40 billion per year. Like we talked about quarterly numbers before, this is the yearly number. So it's going to be probably over $40 billion in revenue for 2023. And that is over 4 years, over a 14 doubling of revenue. So there is really, it really took off just last summer, more or less, this the growth of the chips in terms of data centers and AI training especially, and then how the graphic chips are so much better than the usual CPUs to just for the calculations, for the matrix manipulations and so on, and the parallel processing. Okay, so we'll see. It's going to be exciting to how both see the numbers and the reactions, which will then come tomorrow in the stock markets. Okay, so that was a lot of investment talk, 4.5 minutes almost. We're going to switch gears now to the bigger picture in many ways, to Dante's Divine Comedy, to Paradiso, and this great speech from his great-great-grandfather about the pilgrim's future, and then also some thoughts and reactions from the pilgrim to this. So we're getting the whole biography, kind of the prophecy of Dante's life, or the pilgrim's life, from the exile in 1302 until he finds kind of a safe haven in Verona in 1303, 1304 with the Scala family. So we had yesterday this introduction of Can Grande della Scala, who becomes the patron of the Paradiso. He's just 12 years old when Dante comes there for the first time. And then later, when he is 21 years old, he becomes the ruler of Verona. So the last sentence we had from the previous time was non ne potran tener le lingue mute, which is like the virtuousness and the accomplishments of the young Can Grande della Scala are so great that even his enemies cannot suppress these not only rumors, but like his reputation. They cannot keep the tongues muted, the tongues quiet about Can Grande. And then, continuing in Italian here, a lui ti aspetta e a suoi benefici. Per lui fia trasmutata molto gente, cambiando condizione ricchi e mendici. So, to him you will be expecting, kind of you will rely on him and of his benevolence, his support. Per lui fia trasmutata, and he will transmutate, he will change, transform many people, changing their conditions, both the rich and the poor, the mendicant. E porterà scritto nella mente di lui e non dirai. And keep this written in your mind about him. So Cacciaguida is telling this to the pilgrim, like, keep this in your mind, your memory, and non dirai, and don't talk about this. Like, don't say this to anybody. E disse cose incredibili a quei che fier presente. And he said, like Cacciaguida said, incredible things for also those who will be present. So just meaning that Cacciaguida is now saying things about the deeds of Can Grande, which were incredible for those who experienced it, but the pilgrim is not allowed to say this or write about this here in the poem. Which is a kind of a bit secretive, a bit of a mystery. There could be different ways of interpreting this. One is kind of, it's a literary poetic technique that we can just imagine the greatness of Can Grande. It might also be something practical because Dante is writing this about the year 1318, 1319, when Can Grande is very much in charge of Verona. He is the ruler of Verona as a city. He's still a young person, but there might be some things that Dante doesn't want to say because it might be problematic in real life for Can Grande, especially when he talks about his changed lives of rich people and poor people. It could be to not spilling out secrets, like political secrets or strategic secrets. Like, Europe is very much in the flux here, and you have the conflict still with the Holy Roman Empire and the papacy. And other things, it could also be that Can Grande helped people in private that he didn't want to be made public, because that could create other social dynamics in his life and more demands on him, for example. So probably a mix of both these two elements and some others, it could be. And then, poi giunse, and then he added, meaning Cacciaguida, figlio, questo son le chiose di quel che ti fu detto. Ecco le insidie che dietro a pochi giri son nascose. So, child, or kind of my child, these are the explanations of the things that are said of you. So this is meaning that Cacciaguida had these visions of the prophecies that came to him like music, and now Cacciaguida has just been describing these visions and these prophecies from the point of, like, the divine point where all time is contained. And then it says then, ecco l'insidie, like, watch out for the snares that behind a couple of years are hidden. So this means that we are here in, like, around Easter in 1300 in the story. The summer of 1300, like a few months later, Dante becomes one of the six priors of Florence, which he himself has described several times as the root of all his problems. So this is going to happen in the summer of 1300, and then he will eventually be exiled in both January 1302 and March 1302, more or less exactly 2 years after this conversation in the story. So this is how Cacciaguida is saying that within a couple of years, relating to that point of time when they're talking, there will be snares. Like, you will be exiled, you will have to endure this period in Arezzo, but then you will come to your first refuge with the Scala family. And then, non vo però che a tuoi vicini invidia, but I don't want you though to be envious of your neighbors, like your peers, other people, poscia che sin futura la tua vita vie più là che il punir di lor perfidia. This is a very beautiful and interesting tercet. So he says that because it will be in future your life roads much more lofty. So it's a way of Cacciaguida to say, don't envy people who have less troubles than you in those few years, because it's so beautiful, because he could said like, yeah, great glory and fame and recognition awaits you. But he's just saying that your life will extend far into the future in very lofty ways. Like, your influence, like your works, what you do, will just keep radiating and infusing, extending into the future in like at lofty, higher, virtuous levels. So it's just interesting how kind of precise this is in terms of what has actually happened. Like, now 700 years later, we can look at this prophecy and we can say, yes, this is exactly what happened. It's not just this eruption of celebration and fame and this emotional thing, but it's just like, this is going to be the consequence of your life and your life work. And then he adds as a contrast here that it will be then your future there is going to be more than the punishment of the others, like your enemies, vices, and kind of wicked actions, wicked deeds. So if you think of this as two of his main enemies here around that time is Donati, Corso Donati, which is then the viceful ruler, the kind of a dynasty, mafia-like ruler of Florence that also unleashes. He has kind of a slaughter in Florence and he is driving the civil war in collaboration with Boniface, Bonifacio. So these two are kind of main enemies at this point, but Bonifacio is being captured, beaten, and then in effect killed by the French king right after in 1303. And then Donati is also being hunted down by an uproar in Florence and also killed in 1308. So just like the coming years after this, both of these two people will kind of get their consequences of their vices, of how, like, their choices and the role they played in these events. So that is one kind of thing that's hidden into this, as he mentioned earlier about the vendetta that will show the truth. It applies very much to these two historical figures. Okay, and then there's a much bigger point to make here, which is that earlier he talked about mirando il punto a cui tutti i tempi sono presenti. So Cacciaguida is looking into the point in which all of time, the entirety of time, is present. And then if we step back now and consider what we are actually reading and experiencing and what is being told, you have like almost four different time periods in the same instance here. We have the story in 1300, you have Dante writing this as a person about 1318, 1319. You have the events that are happening in 1303, 1304. So then you have like three different things at once there. And you see it, Dante sees it like in hindsight. The prophecy is telling something in the present. And in the story, it's a future event. But then you have a fourth dimension as well, which is we sitting here 700 years later and also reading this and seeing this and experiencing this. So in a way, this is just the genius of Dante as a writer. He mentions earlier that you have all of time contained in a point, and he's actually then just doing this. If you think of your own experience of what we just read, that is several aspects of times and past and the future packed into one moment, one experience as we are thinking and reading it. So that's something, one of those unsaid things in this canto. And it's also interesting because this points to like one of the aspects of divinity, which is the eternity of time in itself. And this is the center canto, so it's fitting that there are at least some aspect or some profound idea or perspective on divinity that is present in this very center. And it here then circles around time, at least in this part of it. And we still have a third left of the canto, so we'll see if there are other things coming, like between the lines here. So that is where Cacciaguida stops talking, and then just going to have the how Dante is packing this in. There's one more tercet, which is poiché tacendo si mostrò spedita l'anime santa di metter la trama in quella tela che io lo porsi ordita. So then, being silent or silencing himself, Cacciaguida has expedited this holy sacred soul spirit to put the weavings or the plot, the drama, which is the same word in Italian with trama, in this tela, which is like in this canvas that I had before him outlined, like stretched out. So in other words, like he says that this is what Cacciaguida was weaving into this canvas that I put in front of him and asked him, like, very humbly, can you please show me my future? I am ready to withstand any kind of hits from arrows, because then you can prepare for them. And just, like, please sketch this out. And then Cacciaguida has been weaving these images on the canvas that we have now been looking at. So there's also then a beautiful interweaving of Cacciaguida and the pilgrim. Again, this ancestry idea that they are actually doing this in a sense together, more than just Cacciaguida transmitting information over to him. It's more like, here we have, like, I post this to you and then you have weaved it and then now we have experienced it, and then you have this unity again, and then Dante being a part of the ancestry and the lineage. So that is the end of the prophecy in the way that how Cacciaguida is describing it. And then again, like, a major thought maybe for today is this thing about time, how we look at time, how we look at now, the past, the present, how Dante is suggesting that we at least might conceptually try to think of this, how you can capture more aspects of time into one instance. Okay, so with that, I hope some of this was interesting, some food for thought. Hope you're still having a great day, maybe a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and we'll be back very soon with another episode. See you then.